Don't know a blue jay from a chickadee, let alone how to spot a hooded warbler? A new birding book has you covered. The title is, This is a Book for People Who Love Birds. But author Danielle Bellany, a wildlife biologist, says she wants to give everybody a way into the world of birds. Her book is filled with not only descriptions and stories about North American birds, but also with birding culture and tips. I recently talked with Bellany about it. Why did you want to write a bird guide?
Honestly, it was just like, I have really nothing else to do. It was, I started the book during the pandemic and I was a little bit bored, honestly. But also a lot of bird guides might've used like jargon or like language that I guess was more geared towards like birders themselves instead of a larger audience. So I really wanted to get folks away from being concerned about not understanding something and, you know, being able to be in it because they're interested.
The beginning of the book describes bird history and bodies and behavior. And then you kind of move into bird watching and birding culture. For example, you explain the tradition of enjoying a piece of pie after seeing a bird that you've never seen before. It's called lifer pie. I'd never heard of that before. And it feels to me like you're trying to bring people in with this book.
For the folks that are new to birding, I want them to know that this is a hobby for them. They shouldn't be excluded or be discouraged from enjoying these birds, especially if they don't have the facts about them. I mean, that's part of becoming a birder, learning the things. You know, you'll be wrong sometimes, and that's okay. And even when I do like bird walks or guide walks with folks, I like sprinkle little tidbits about my book, like especially if there's like a younger audience, like kids and stuff that are out there birding, they'll tell me like, oh, I've never seen that bird before. I'm like, oh, well, you know what that means, right? We have to celebrate. And typically if their parents, they're all like, not say, well, let's go get some ice cream or like something. I'll just say like, oh, you have to do a dance. And they look really excited and super into it. So yeah, just trying to get people excited about it.
You also write about good places to see and watch birds, maybe places you wouldn't think of, like parking lots and cemeteries. I know you're famous for that. You've written about that. Where do you recommend people watch and enjoy birds?
Yeah, you can always start just at your own place, wherever you are. That's the great thing about birds. They're literally everywhere. So even if you enjoy them online, that definitely is a place to start. Parking lots is a great place to go. I've met a lot of people who, and also just birders in general, you find the bird that you're always looking for right when you're about to leave in the parking lot. So why not just stay there and just start there in the first place? And yeah, cemeteries is another one. They're basically a park, just, you know, got a little extra features. And there's oftentimes not very many people there. So you have a nice time to enjoy the whole place to yourself. And you just think outside the box, really anywhere, like a drainage ditch, you can just pull over to the side of the road, always be safe. But yeah, there's birds everywhere. Just take a moment and slow down and just look.
This is a bright, colorful book with illustrations by Stephanie Singleton. How did you choose the birds of North America that are represented in the book and which sort of make up most of the book?
It was very difficult. I definitely wanted to choose birds that had some very interesting life habits. And so that's pretty much where I started. But then I also wanted to get a good representative example of birds based on like where they live. So seabirds or grassland birds or, you know, certain birds that live in certain places. I wanted to get like a good representation of North America itself, and then also, you know, highlight what's cool in each region so folks can get excited about something they could potentially see.
Is this kind of stuff that you had in your head already that you already knew, or did you have to do a lot of research?
Definitely had to do tons of research, and oftentimes I was just like, I stopped and just like, oh, that's really bizarre. I have to put that into the book. And often there were birds where like I just happened to hear in a passing conversation that they had like a really interesting breeding behavior or interesting call. I'm like, oh, I should swap that bird out and put it in my book. And they even told me like, oh, you can't include all the weird ones. You got to like put some normal ones in there too. So I had to include, you know, of course, the basics, like, you know, the cardinals and things that you typically see for most of the United States or most of North America.
I love the descriptions of the birds you write of ospreys. Meat-eating birds are too cool for words. Ospreys are found on every continent except Antarctica and require open bodies of water to catch fish as their main food source. Due to their pescatarian habits, ospreys are often called fish hawks or fish eagles. However, ospreys are neither hawks nor eagles. Ospreys are in a classification all their own. I love that.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite bird in the book and why?
Oh, yeah, man. Painted bunting is definitely my favorite bird. It's very common in Texas, and a lot of folks in Texas don't even realize we have this like Crayola crayon, brightly colored bird in our backyards. And it's a great spark bird for a lot of folks. I know my parents, especially when they realized that they had them in their backyard, they basically started becoming birders. So yeah, it's just a bird that brings a lot of joy to me.
What's a spark bird?
Oh, so yeah, a spark bird is basically a bird that kind of pulls you into birding, or at least brings your attention to birds. Yeah, it ignites the spark of wanting to go learn more about birds.
Could you read a little bit about that bird?
Yeah, absolutely. So, painted bunting, scientific name is Passerina cirrus. The beauty of the painted bunting makes it seem like a bird that belongs in a tropical climate with other unbelievably colorful birds. However, the artistry of painted buntings is very accessible to fans throughout their North American range. Painted buntings can be found on the ground, foraging grasses and low shrubs. Only the male painted bunting display the vivid colors. Females and juvenile males are entirely and marvelously shades of vibrant green. Males can easily be spotted singing in treetops in the spring and summer. Since only male painted buntings are reported to sing, an easy way to distinguish adult females from juvenile males is to observe this behavior. The expressive ramblings of males defending territories can be heard throughout grasslands with scattered brush and trees. In the winter, painted buntings migrate to Mexico and return to the same territory they defended in the previous years. Next time you visit a restaurant that offers crayons to kids, impress your table guests by using the four basic colors you're given to draw a painted bunting.
Thanks for reading that.
Yeah, of course.
The book is dedicated to your grandparents, Charles and Elizabeth Burse, who you write showed the young me the wonders of nature. Can you tell me a little bit about them and why this book is dedicated to them?
Growing up, I definitely liked hanging out outside, and just the front yard and the backyard of my parents' house wasn't cutting it for me. Thankfully, my grandparents, they own some property kind of outside of Austin area. It's about a 14-acre, more or less a farm. And I would just spend my summers out there hanging out with them, learning how to take care of the animals, and then just exploring their property. And that's definitely where my love for nature was being cultivated from learning through them and also learning through whatever the land would tell me.
Were they birders?
No, not necessarily, but my grandfather knows plenty of information about birds, even though he's not specifically focused on birds. Even still, like especially now since he knows how interested I am in birds, he'll show me all the wrens and just talk to me about the birds that he sees pass through his property. And of course, he uses like the old nomenclature for these birds. So I'm like trying to translate, like, what's a sparrow hawk again? Like, oh, I think he means an American kestrel. So we just have to like work around each other, and we're able to still share a really fun experience, even though we don't have the same, I guess, words or same knowledge about the birds.
What do birds and birding mean to you that you wanted to share with people?
Yeah, I guess it's really awesome that birding itself is a hobby that you can turn on and off whenever you want to. I think that was definitely the allure for me, that you can also just never be bored in nature. There's always something interesting to look at. And birds, they're always been a symbol of freedom. I think across a lot of cultures, especially, being able to have wings to fly away to go somewhere else is a luxury. And I think a lot of us look to birds for that inspiration.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Danielle Bellany is a wildlife biologist and author of This is a Book for People Who Love Birds. She's a co-organizer of hashtag Black Birders Week on Twitter. You can hear more stories about birds and all kinds of other creatures in our series Wild PA at our website, alleghenyfront.org/wildpa. I'm Carol Holsapple.